everybody. Welcome back to the Pressing Coverage Podcast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mason. And once again, I'm joined by the man, the one, the only, the guy that just got cut from the Cleveland Browns roster after one day of training camp. It's Max Wiener!
Hey, I feel like that's a better outcome than being on the Cleveland Browns, because at least you're not on the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, but you're also not making at least $400K a year.
I'm also not getting CTE, so that's great.
Oh, too soon, man.
Or not soon enough.
Well, yeah, I suppose. But yeah, that's harsh, man. That's real harsh.
Life is harsh.
But god dang, Max, chill out.
This is the real world edition podcast where
This is the NFL podcast they don't want you to hear.
Too real.
So yeah, we're starting our NFL coverage with this podcast, and we are cool. So the plan for the upcoming weeks and the next couple of pods is that we plan to go division by division and ask the one big question for each team in each division going into the season. So that can be a range of questions. It can be very macro or it can be very micro. It can range from one player's development or it can range to an entire team developing and taking the next step. So today we're going to be talking about the AFC North.
Mason, is winter coming?
Yes, Max, winter is coming, but more importantly, fall is coming, which means football is coming. True. So get hyped. So yeah, Max, I mean, are you ready for the NFL season to come back? I know I am.
I'm super hyped. Carson Wentz 5 ever.
The Wentz wagon, never overrated at all.
Whoa. He is the hope of the city of brotherly love.
Yeah,
I
read an interesting article that the Eagles fans are kind of losing their mean edge. They're getting kind of soft.
That's like our MO. What the hell?
I mean, I think it's because Carson is such like a nice guy that I think he's kind of rubbing off on the fans.
Don't worry, Philadelphia will get to him eventually.
Would you rather the Eagles cut him and the fans just get meaner than ever? Or Carson Wentz becomes really good and the fans just become as nice as the rest of the fan bases?
Oh, you got to cut them. Like, that's our thing.
Got to keep the identity
of the
fans. Got to
throw snowballs at Santa as much as possible. Somebody's got to do it.
You got to cheer whenever an opposing player breaks their neck. Yeah,
absolutely. Someone has to do it, Mason.
Yeah.
We're the enemy of the NFL deserves, not the one it needs.
I was gonna say that the fans that the NFL deserves, not the one they need.
Hey, the draft this year was the most lit NFL draft of all time.
Yeah, they didn't even boo freaking Goodell hard enough. Apparently,
I remember disappointing.
You sent me a text saying my city let me down.
I expected like at least 30 minutes of straight booing.
Yeah, I thought like the only place that he would have been booed more would have been in Boston because of the Brady suspension, but I guess not, Max. I guess Philly has just become the really, truly the city of brotherly love.
Just going back to our roots, apparently.
Yeah. All right, so now let's jump into these questions, Max. So you want to start us off, bud? What better team to start with than the reigning division champs, the Pittsburgh Steelers?
The Steel City, Pittsburgh. So for the Steelers, sorry, I gotta get my Ginzer on.
It's the Squealers, Max. It's Pittsburgh Squealers.
Okay, that's also a good nickname like that. Yeah. All right. So my question for Pittsburgh is, will they make the most of potentially, which is it's getting more and more likely, it seems like every day, of Sloppy Rothy, Ben Roethlisberger's last season. So, Mason, do you think Ben Roethlisberger is future Hall of Famer?
Of course, yeah. I mean, ever since he was a rookie, really. I mean, he didn't have the best rookie year, but his team won a lot of games rookie year. And then there was a year where they went 15-1. I mean, he's got two rings. I think he should own all the passing records for the franchise. I'd say that he's been in the tier, like, the for sure Hall of Famers are Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. And then I think I'm not going to say Ben's in that, just because, like, I don't think he's on that level, but I'd say he's a safe bet, to get in the Hall of Fame.
Maybe a couple ballots, but he definitely deserved it.
Absolutely, I think he should. I think he'll get it. I mean, he he never won league MVP, which is the only thing I think would might hold him back. But, you know, he was always ready to show up in the playoffs during those early years. So I think he'll get in.
So why – this is my question, I guess the answer. So last year the Steelers were 5th in passing yards, 4th in passing touchdowns, and 8th in net yards per pass attempt. At the same time, overall, so this is based on Pro Football Reference, they were the 5th best team according to their SRS ranking system, which is combines their point differential for each game with their strength of schedule to determine which teams are the best or like perform the best. So you have a franchise great. You have potentially one more season with him. And Mason, do you trust Landry Jones to lead this offense? Because I don't.
No, Landry Goat Jones is his full name. Thank you very much.
Okay, sorry.
I mean, he's not the solution for the future, which my friend who's a Steelers fan, he was really hoping that they would have grabbed Mahomes so he could kind of be the guy of the
Patty
future.
Melt
because
Mahomes.
Patty Melt Mahomes, as they call him, or as we just call him. But they got Josh Dobbs looked really good in college, even though he was – I don't want to say he was underrated because everyone that watched him knew how good he was. But nobody put the limelight on him, I guess. He was really good. He played at the Heisman level down the stretch. I know Tennessee disappointed for the X number of season in a row, but – still, Josh Dobbs looked good, and I think he – I'm not going to say he's going to be Dak Prescott-esque because I don't think he's – I don't think he's coming into the same offensive situation that the Cowboys were, even though I think it is very close. I think Josh Dobbs – I wouldn't be surprised if Josh Dobbs grabs the second spot by week 7 or something.
Okay.
Because it's inevitable that Big Ben's going to go down with a leg injury or something, as it always happens. So, and I think there'll be like a 3-week span where they don't have him.
But, so you have one more year of one of the best players. You have two of the best supporting cast members in Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, you have the best running back, and you have the best.
And the best wide receiver, and Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
So, you have this trio, the killer bees, as they call them. You got to capitalize this year. This could be the end of your window of winning a championship. You got to have a quarterback to win a championship, even with Bell and Brown.
Yeah, so. I agree. But almost the entire time the franchise has been around, they've done a really good job of developing quarterbacks and getting the next guy in pretty much, not right away, but within 2 years. So yes, Big Ben going will hurt their, Super Bowl chances, but I don't think people should hit the panic button and fire the missiles, because I think that they, especially we've talked about this with the very good looking quarterback class next year. I wouldn't be surprised if they maybe trade up and grabbed a quarterback in the first round. But Big Ben, while this might be his last year, I think he's going to play two more.
I think with all the news out with CTE and his health issues, I think this is his last year.
I think that too.
See a bigger movement of early retirements, as we've already seen. We've seen some people doing that already, just because the real health concerns are coming out about playing football.
Yeah,
and these guys
want
to be able to enjoy
the
their life.
Dangerous.
Yeah,
I agree. The game is very dangerous. It's pretty much the most dangerous sport I can think of, other than maybe high lie. But CTE studies are, you know, it's getting more and more serious, and I've said this before. I think that the game is going to eventually, if the rules don't change or if the game can't make a drastic change, which I don't think it can just because the center of the game is so violent that I think that the sport's going to eventually become reduced to maybe like a niche sport one day, kind of like what hockey is now. And I mean, I'd hate that because I love the NFL. I mean, college football is my favorite sport to watch as well. But going back, hanging all this back to Ben Roethlisberger, yes, I think that has had an impact on him. But I think I give him 2 years because, I mean, here's the thing. Money talks, man. I mean, these players have been, for the most part, have been playing football their entire lives. And while they might not know the extent of the consequences, they know it's a dangerous game. But yeah, Big Ben, I wouldn't push past 2 years. I think he's done after one or two. But yeah, I mean, I think there is a sense that they do want to make the most of this year. And, you know, they have Martavis Bryant back this year, who can be that deep threat to help get AB more open targets and easier catches. Because they tried to do that with Sammy Coates last year, but they forgot Sammy Coates has bricks for hands, so that doesn't really work.
But Mason, you're forgetting about their most important wide receiver.
Oh, man, how could I forget? I was so happy when they made this pick, Max, because...
Do you want that beat?
I know how the Pittsburgh Steelers do with wide receiving talent. They drafted my boy Juju Smith-Schuster out of USC, who I was hoping would go in the first round, but he slipped to the second, but it's okay because he went to a better team. And he's high-quality guy. He's going to work his butt off. He's going to probably become the number two receiver after this year. I don't know if they're going to extend Bryant. But he's a good big-bodied receiver. He's not the fastest, but they already have Bryant for that. And they also have AB, who's got the good speed as well. So, yeah, I mean, I think they are going to go all in this year, which kind of goes to my question, Max, is is their pass rush going to take this next step this year? Because they kind of showed it at the end of the season, but we didn't see a consistent threat. So, I mean, we know that in the front seven, we know Ryan Shazier is a robot. He'll do his job. Artie Burns looked good and bad at times last year, but their secondary seemed to get it together as the season went along, kind of like the Falcons did, kind of like how that defense came along by the end of the season. But they are a pass rush away from, I think, being AFC championship game lock, essentially.
Well, I think they answered that question with their first-round draft pick.
Well, banking on a rookie to make an immediate impact is tough.
Dude, I saw him play live. I love TJ. He's 100% a stud. We know his genes are elite.
Yeah, I mean, I'm buying TJ Watt stock for sure. Yeah. But, you know, that's obviously doesn't make him – just because he has JJ's last name doesn't mean he's going to be JJ right away. I mean, he's looked good.
He's made his own legacy without being JJ.
Well, not in the NFL. That's the thing. True. The NFL, college, two different beasts. And so, I mean, we've seen guys that dominate in college take a little while, like JJ, like Jadeveon Clowney. He needed time, but he looks really good now. So with Watt – if he can show the signs, I mean, if he can pick it up by week six, then yeah, I'll be pretty bought in. Because I still think – I think their defense, the Steelers' defense, is farther along than the Raiders' defense, which I think the three teams, the top three teams in the AFC are going to be the Raiders – and this is in no particular order – the Raiders, the Patriots, and the Steelers. I think those are your three legitimate teams that can make the – AFC championship game.
No complaints here. That would be my top three.
Yeah, I mean, in the South, you have, if the Titans make the AFC championship game, I'll get a tattoo of Marcus Mariota on my back.
That would be,
I'd love.
Don't
that.
Be sleeping on the former Houston Oilers.
Yeah, hey, we'll get there in however many weeks pod. We'll talk about the AFC South, which will be a lot of fun. But sticking with the AFC North. Yeah, I mean, I like the Steelers roster. I wish Big Ben was a bit younger. And I know that's like, duh. But I'm not sure how healthy, if he can play 16 games. He hasn't played 16 games the past three seasons. He's been hurt. And obviously, I want him to go out on top. I like the guy. He's a good leader in the huddle, you know, and he's got great chemistry with Antonio Brown. And when Antonio Brown looks good, the NFL is better. And Antonio Brown is at his best whenever Big Ben is playing, so... Plus, I've loved watching Big Ben pump fake. It's hilarious because of how good it is and how he just looks like he's about to throw a cannonball and then he just tucks it. And just how difficult he is to bring down in the pocket. But anyways, back to the thing at hand. Yeah, Bud Dupree kind of struggled, not last year, but the year before. And he kind of took it up this year. And so I'm hoping he can not even get to elite, just get to above average. That's what I want, get him to above average this year. And then maybe with the combination of TJ Watt and they develop together, hopefully they can be a really, really good defense in the next 3 years, because that's all they really need. I mean, they've already got a very good, underrated offensive line. So I think just the only missing piece is really the pass rush, because if you can get a good pass rush, then you're going to make your secondary's job easier. And the secondary is okay. I'll say that right now. It's okay. It's not great, but it's okay.
I agree with you. Pittsburgh's legacy has always been their defense. Now it's been a very big shift into them being a very strong offensive team.
Yeah.
And I think just one, I wouldn't say superstar, but one above average player away from getting that defense back to a above average level.
Yeah, I mean, and let's not forget, they still have James Ironman Harrison, who spends $300,000 on his body every offseason. But when James Harrison is your best pass rusher, then that's not the best, you know. Even though James Harrison could destroy me by just looking at me and I would melt, but still. I'm excited to see how their defense develops, because I'm hoping – I know Mike Tomlin is a good development guy, so I'm hoping that he continues down that path. So now do you want to talk about the most hated team by the Steelers?
Oh, yes, yes. So next up on the list, a team to
– the elite team.
Yeah, Mason, that's actually my question. Mason, is Joe Flacco an elite quarterback?
Is this your actual question?
No, I was joking. But
do you want me to answer it, though?
Okay.
Joe Flacco is not an elite quarterback. However, he did have an elite playoff performance one season. There you go.
I think Joe Flacco is underappreciated.
I love the Jimmy Fallon superlative of him being the transvestite Frankenstein. I thought that was pretty funny. I feel like this is all a backlash to his contract that he made, like, after the Super Bowl, which is super unfortunate because the Ravens were in that position, like, okay, this is kind of the worst thing to happen to us from a leverage standpoint, because Joe just won a Super Bowl, threw no interceptions in the playoffs, and we kind of have to pay him now, or else we look like crap, and unless his agent says no. So, yeah, that's kind of one reason why, but... Yeah, I mean, I think he's about an average quarterback. I think he's about, like, the maybe the between the 12th and the 16th best quarterback in the
NFL. A lot of teams would kill for that.
No, I mean, yeah.
Okay, for sure. but for realsies this time, my question for the Baltimore Ravens is, are they going to have somebody step up to be their offensive weapon, offensive playmaker for Joe Flacco? Because tell me, like... They have Mike Wallace, which is
good. Mike Smoochie Wallace.
But they were 21st in points last year and 17th in total yards. They did get Jeremy Maclin, but he's not a difference maker. He's a good number three.
He's maybe regressed.
Okay, number two.
If he can stay on the field.
And like ever since the departure of a player who does not have his deserve to have his name said on this pod.
Oh, okay.
They have, I just feel like their offense is, they don't have anyone who I would trust in the fourth quarter with 1 minute to go and you need a touchdown.
Well, here's the thing. So they lost from the Super Bowl team. They lost one of the greatest linebackers of all time in Ray Lewis. Terrell Suggs was younger. They also lost Ed Reed. The thing is their offensive line needs to be fixed, because Joe Flacco has gotten sacked and needs to stay healthy if they even want to stand a chance. They also lost Torrey Smith from that team. They also lost Jacoby Jones from that team. And, of course, they lost Ray Rice. And so, yeah, I mean, they had a lot of do shuffling in the deck, and so they lost a lot of talent. And I mean, that's
they haven't made the effort to replace that talent.
No, I think they've been drafting running backs in the later rounds. But are they superstar running backs? No. Are they superb? No. They drafted Breshad Perriman, who I don't know if he can play football at all because he's been hurt, but I think he'll maybe be good this year. Not good, maybe play this year. They picked up a couple guys this past off in the draft. I'm forgetting one of their names, though. I know they got Marlon Humphreys in the first round for cornerback, which I think he'll be good. I know Alabama hasn't had the quote-unquote best defensive back history, by that, I mean prior to Landon Collins, who's amazing now, and Ha Ha Clinton Dix, who's amazing. So prior to them, they had some trouble with corners. But other than that, I think they'll be fine. I think Marlon Humphreys will be a good physical asset on the team. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that the problem with me is the talent on the offensive side of the ball. The thing that sucks is Marshall Yonde is one of the greatest guards of all time. And he's so quiet, nobody ever mentions him because he's on the Ravens and because smaller market team.
The first round of the 2017
they just need to get some help on the offensive line, which is where everything starts. And then I think they'll go from there. But yeah, I mean, my question was pretty much the same as who in the wide receiver core is going to be the guy, like the go-to guy that Joe can build chemistry with and trust? Nobody. Yeah, that's the thing. Is who's that going to be? I mean, is it going to be Wash Jeremy Maclin? Probably not. Is it going to be essentially rookie Breshad Perriman? Probably not. So, I mean, that's the big question mark. I don't really know. And the tight end might be – the tight end out of Minnesota from last year I think is going to have a good year this year. I'm forgetting his name though. But, that's fine.
I'm looking – I just looked up there the draft from this past year. They only picked two players on the offensive side of the ball, both of which were – linemen. In the fourth round, they picked Nico Sagarusa from San Diego State, who's a guard.
That's right.
In the fifth round, they picked Jermaine Illuminor from Texas A&M.
Okay.
So they really did know they did not get any sort of skill positions in the draft this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, like, their defense had their run defense was really good last year. I think it'll be I don't know if it'll be as high as it was last year, but it should be up there. It should be good. It should be in the contender for the top 10. I mean, not top 10. I'm sorry, for top 5 run defense. Their secondary will be better. I mean, it has to be because last year's was and the past 2 years were not good. Our questions are on the offense. Also, how many more years does Joe Flacco have in a Ravens uniform? Because he's torn his ACL. I think it's two. I think he's got two, maybe one more.
Does he have like a team option?
I can't remember what the exact structure of it was, but he signed it in the offseason of the 2012-2013 Super Bowl. And I think it was for 5 years. So it might be after next season, I believe, is when it fully expires. But I wonder if they'll try to go for a younger blood or whatnot, because this is a big year for John Harbaugh, which I think is a great coach. I think he's a very good coach, but the problem is that the expectation I feel for the fan base and for that office is to win. And if you don't make the playoffs this year, then I think he might be out, which I don't think is
wow.
Yeah, which I don't agree with, because I know he's a good coach and I love the special teams coaches guys team coaches to become head coaches, because I feel like they have the best feel for all three phases of the game, and they don't miss on the details, because that's a very huge part of special teams. But yeah, I mean, we're both concerned with the offense, and with Joe Flacco hurt now and Ryan Mallett, who still needs a Scantron, I doubt he can be a playoff winning quarterback. So yeah, I mean, it's kind of like pulling names out of a hat. The first one you get is going to be the number one receiver. So it'll be very interesting to see who leads the team in receiving yards and receptions at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they will have a 1,000-yard receiver.
Oh, no. I very much doubt so.
But we will see. I think that will be the piece of the puzzle for them, if they can somehow find somebody to break out and be the guy out of skill position. I can see them making a playoff run. I wouldn't say I'd expect them to see them in the championship, but I think they could win a playoff game or two.
I think they're going to be the third best team in their division. I think the Steelers are going to – I don't want to get my predictions away. Never mind. But the thing is, they also need a good run game this year, because Joe Flacco is at his best when he can do a good play-action pass.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't have a good running game, then their play action won't be taken seriously, and they'll have to shy away from it. So now, Max, moving on to the Cincinnati Bungles. I'm saying that right, aren't I?
It sounds right to me.
Okay. Okay, so the Cincinnati Bengals, Max.
The Bengals?
My question, I'll go first this time. The Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
My big question. Might not be a flashy question, but I think it's the most important question. Max, how's the offensive line going to hold up this year?
Hopefully, because a lot better than last year.
Well, that's the thing. They lost two guys from last year on that offensive line, mm-hmm. and they might be starting rookies at both tackle positions, which is horrifying for Andy Dalton and Andy Dalton fans everywhere. I am one of them, because go Frogs. Mm-hmm. Because, like, we've seen Andy Dalton at his ceiling when Hugh Jackson was his his QB coach and his offensive coordinator 2 years ago when he unfortunately broke his thumb but was playing at an MVP caliber level, when the Bengals looked like a top three team in football. I would have loved to see Carolina versus the Bengals in the Super Bowl that year. That would have been a lot of fun.
That would have been a lot of fun.
But unfortunately, yeah, he broke his thumb, and so he didn't get to play that very important game. And then Hugh Jackson left to be the head coach at the Cleveland Browns. So
rip
for me. Also that year, Marvin Jones left, and so for Detroit, and Mohamed Sanu Kanu left for the Atlanta Falcons. And so obviously that's a lot of snaps that you lose between Andy Dalton and those two receivers, a lot of receptions. They weren't able to really replace them. Tyler Eifert, the Eifert Tower, was hurt this year because of that very tragic injury in the Pro Bowl that breaks my heart, and then he's never going to accept a Pro Bowl invitation anymore. And so you saw some setback there. The offensive line didn't do great, and Andy kind of crumbled under pressure this past year, and didn't have a good year. I think he took a step back from the QBR wise. I think it was from like 8th to 16th or something like that. It wasn't great. It was not good at all.
That's not good.
Don't quote me on that, but I think he doubled his standing essentially from where he was. So for me, if the offensive line can get back on track and give him more time to develop his reads and his throws, because he has AJ Green, he has top three receiver in the NFL. My favorite receiver, I want to say. I've loved watching AJ Green play since Georgia. So AJ Green's a beast, so he'll be fine. Ross, I like the pick because it brings back another layer to the offense. He can stretch the field, which, you know, always helps. More versatility, the better. But it's not going to matter if Andy's on his ass all the time.
And Mason, they lost their most important offensive weapon this offseason.
Harambe?
Rex Burkhead.
Oh my god, the actual go. He's going to have 1,000. He's going to have a 15,000-yard scrimmage year in the freaking Patriots. I already know
he's
it.
He's going to get his ring, finally, that he deserves.
Yeah, I mean, little-known fact, we went to high school with that guy.
Well, we went to the same high school. We didn't go.
We went to high school with him. We went to high school with him, Max. I'll count that. We went to school with him at the same time.
Okay, true. Yeah. All right. I guess in a normal scenario, we would have gone to high school with him.
Yes. But yeah, he was the OG Superman before Cam Newton took the nickname. Rex Burkhead ran through pretty much everybody. But hey, Max, it's okay because they drafted Joe Mixon in the second round.
Just a team full of low character guys getting another low character guy.
Okay. No.
Sorry. The controversial opinion.
No, to say they're a team of low character guys, I very much disagree with.
2015 playoff.
Yeah, Vontaze Burfict made a dirty play. You can say that about Vontaze Burfict, not about the team. I mean, I think that's ridiculous. That's like saying that. That's like saying because Martavis Bryant got suspended for a year because smoking weed, that the entire Steelers team is a pot smoking bum fest. No, I don't agree with that.
420 plays it.
Yeah, dang Kush. But yeah, I mean, I'm not a fan of the way that Vontaze Burfict tackles and way that he, on tape, goes for players' legs. I'm not a fan of that. But I know a lot of good players on the team, you know, play the game the right way. So I'm not going to say they're dirty. Yes, the Joe Mixon pick, off the field, we can talk about that all day. We can literally talk, people already have. So let's talk about what's on the field. On the field,
he's a difference maker.
Yeah, I mean, he can break through the tackles with speed. He can break through the holes in the offensive line with speed. He can break tackles. He can catch. He's an underrated pass catcher. And the thing is, they already have Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard. So that's another layer to the offense. But the thing is, it won't really matter if their offensive line can't get it going.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why that's my big question. It's because, you know, their defense is fine. I think they're going to need to get some more help at corner, but the Xavier Rhodes from last year, who was out the entire last season, he'll be back, and so hopefully he'll be able to finally develop, and they'll be able to slide him in at corner to get more help in the secondary. I do think they're going to miss, I'm forgetting the guy. He left to go on the Raiders. They miss him. Thankfully, they have George Iloka, who's a very underrated and very good safety. I like him a lot. But yeah, that's why I think for me the big question is, can that offensive line keep it together long enough for Andy Dalton to get the ball out of his hand?
I agree. So that kind of feeds into my question. Who really are the Cincinnati Bengals?
Who did Harambe, Max?
It was an inside job.
Thank you.
But they're the 2015 team that you could argue, as you said, was a top three team in the league. Or the 2016 team who was really very mediocre. They were around 16 league average in the standard rating system. So I just did some quick numbers analysis on why they had such a big drop-off. Was, you said one of it, the offensive line played horrible last season. So they went, their turnover rate went from an abysmal 25th to 27th. So you could say that they were playing out of their comfort zone in 2015 and their abilities with that horrible of a turnover rate. And then they scored a ridiculous amount left. They went from scoring the 7th most points to the 24th most point.
Wow.
So that's a huge drop-off. That could be due to losing, as you said, Sanu, Rex Burkhead. And I'm kidding.
Hugh Jackson, their OC as well, who is great. And also, the Sanu canoe, Marvin Jones.
But when now this season, as you already said, getting both Joe Ross and Mixon, you get back that explosiveness that they had in 2015, giving more options to Andy Dalton instead of just A.J. Green. And also, A.J. Green was hurt for 6 games last season. He had a turf toe issue, correct?
I thought it was either that or a hamstring injury, but...
But still both. Those are very nagging. So even though he still did have a 1,000-yard season, it was not the same A.J. Green that we were used to.
I mean, he got hella force-fed last year, man.
Yeah. But the question I still have, though, is... Who are the playmakers that they've added on defense? Their rush defense has regressed horribly. They still have a very, very solid pass defense, but they got a few guys in the offseason that maybe could be like good rotation guys, like Kevin Minter, Ray Maluga, and Jordan Willis, who should be solid for the pass rush. But I really feel like they haven't added any more talent on the defense to take them to the next level.
Yeah, well, I mean, Geno Atkins will always and forever be a beast and a man. But yeah, I mean, they do need to get their pass rush back. They also kind of dipped back after the 2015 season. Mitch, man, Max, when are they going to win that playoff game? I want them to do it. I want them to do it so bad.
They're like the Detroit Lions. Just they're cursed.
That breaks my heart, but...
But speaking of cursed, or unless you have – do you have anything else to say?
No, I mean just make Andy great again. That's all I'm going to say.
So speaking of cursed, let's move on to the final team in the AFC North, the Cleveland, at least we're not Detroit, Browns. Mason, you fire off your question first.
Cleveland, baby. All I got to say, man, I really like the Cleveland Browns this year. And by that, I mean I really like them to get maybe 4 wins.
That's that would be record setting for them.
They might get 5. Wow. My big question. So we already know they have a good offensive. They have a good offensive line. One of the better in the league. Yeah,
Joe Thomas is a goat.
Joe Thomas is tragically. I say this. This is gonna be. He is tragically the best left tackle of all time. I think. And he's never missed a snap. But he's played all of them for the Cleveland Browns. God, he's just. Send him to Minnesota or something, man. So that's fine. They got some young, quote-unquote young weapons. They drafted a ton of wide receivers last year. Not this past draft, but the draft before. And they've, got Brock Lobster at starting QB most likely. My big question, will the talented young D-line live up to expectations? So they got Myles Garrett in, who's ready to dominate. Even though I think he's going to take a year like Jadeveon did. Jadeveon took 2, but I think Miles is only going to need 1 because Miles is just a physical specimen. He was born with a 6-pack, fun fact for you. Just Google Miles Garrett shirtless in high school, and you will be like, why the hell is there a 25-year-old bodybuilder on a high school campus?
And just like that, Mason got on every FBI watch list.
Sweet. The Press and Coverage podcast, you're listening. Sorry. Well, the only reason I know this is because – so my roommate in college, he was good friends with Miles in high school. They both went to Arlington Martin. Shout out, go Warriors. Shout out to Kyle Hicks, too, on TC Horned Frogs.
DFW represent.
Yeah. And so he told me this. He's like, Miles would walk to class. He would – first of all, he would carry his bike. He would carry his bike around the front of campus. And he would walk to class with a with no shirt on because you look at him and he's sculpted Miles Garrett. And so it's ridiculous.
Swoon.
Yeah, no, I'm serious. Like, you will feel inferior as a man. And they also, so now that the Miles Garrett Love Fest is over, you know, you have Emmanuel Ogba on the other side. You have, oh, I'm forgetting his name, the guy from Washington, Sheldon. I don't know why I'm Danny Shelton, at defensive tackle. And so they have some good young pieces on the front. And so I don't know how they're going to use Jabril Peppers, but maybe as a linebacker safety hybrid could be interesting because we are in the, era of positionless football. And versatility is very key here.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm interested to see how their defense – if their pass rush shows up, I mean, I don't think it's going to necessarily mean that they're going to win a lot of games, but it could mean the rebuild is going to be a lot easier for the future because I really do like what they're doing. They're doing a very young youth – they're doing a youth movement. They're trying to go cheap. They're doing NBA, taking on a lot of assets for other teams' bad contracts, a la Brock Osweiler, which it is hilarious that the Brock Osweiler contract was worth less than nothing, actually. They had to give up more than nothing to get rid of him. And so I think they had 20 picks between this last draft and this year's draft.
That's ludicrous.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. And the fact that they could afford to spend a second round pick on a QB, a high ceiling QB, I love that move. I mean, and if DeShone Kizer doesn't work out, oh well, you have next year. Please don't draft Sam Darnold though. I want him to go somewhere else. So yeah, I mean, and they have an interesting running back core. I wouldn't be surprised if Saquon Barkley's there next year though. Sorry, Max.
Please no.
But I mean,
please no.
I don't think it's out of the realm.
Please
of
no.
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that we see the Cleveland Browns make the playoffs two or
he's
three years
from
now.
He's going to be a Philadelphia Eagle. He's going to be a Philadelphia Eagle. Mark my words.
So reeling it back in. Yeah, I don't think it's unrealistic to see the Browns make the playoffs in two or three years, even though it is Cleveland.
Yeah, I like what they're doing. They're taking it nice and slow. They know that they are not they're doing the trust the process.
Exactly.
Method of, we know we are not going to be good for 3 to 4 years. Let's just amass as much talent as we can so that we eventually can be the team. Because they're so devoid of talent across
the whole team. They were.
Yeah, they filled some holes. But we'll see. Do you have anything else to say?
Really quick to say is that I'm so happy that they're not doing the, oh, we just dropped a quarterback, that'll save all our needs. No, they will not. And I'm glad they're doing this.
Not how that works.
I mean, and you look at how Dak Prescott performed. He came into, like, one of the best situations possible for a rookie quarterback, and look how he turned out. That's what you need, is you need to build a foundation, in my opinion, unless it's Aaron Rodgers, an Aaron Rodgers-type guy that's like, oh, there's no doubt. Or Andrew Luck, even. So you need to build the foundation first. And make it easy for them to build confidence and get in a rhythm in their career so they can go on and reach their ceiling, which is why I don't think a lot of potentially GOAT Johnny Manziel quarterbacks really were able to succeed, other than obviously there were off-field issues, but whatevs. That's why I don't think a lot of the Cleveland quarterbacks have ever been able to succeed because the team's not there either. So, yeah, that's kind of all I'll say about Cleveland.
So I have a lot more macro question for the Browns, because I think you very much touched on it. I think the only answer they need to, the only question they need to answer this season is, can they take a step forward? Just that, that's simple. Yeah. That simple. I think they have nowhere to go but up, but they need to take that first step before you can run a marathon. You're not going to become a top five NFL team overnight, but they need this season to start showing signs of life, because they do not have many right now. They need. I loved the Brock Lobster move from Houston, that they had the cap space to not only acquire, okay, Brock Oswald.
Brock Lobster. Arm.
That is about it. But they were able to acquire a high draft pick and a guy who could literally just fill a hole for right now. And then until the GOAT, Deshaun Kizer, is ready. And then Myles Garrett is a franchise player. He can be their guy for the next 10 years. So he's a great guy to start, be your foundation. I love the David Njoku pick. I think that this is very much turning into a league where the tight end is the core of your offensive production, i.e. Kyle Rudolph, Rob Gronkowski,
Travis Kelce.
Zach Ertz, Travis Kelce. So I think that getting a great tight end is becoming more and more important in the modern NFL. I think Corey Coleman needs to take a step forward, because he needs to be their ace. He needs to be their wideout, their number one, and he was nowhere close to that. It's tough because you have nobody to learn off of.
Yeah, who do you build chemistry with when you've got four quarterbacks a year?
But he needs to find a way to take a step forward.
Yeah, I agree.
And then finally, I think that they need to let Jabril Peppers
Jabril!
Play. Just let him play everywhere. Let him do what he did at Michigan. I think that would be, one, entertaining from a marketing point of view. People would come out just to see Jabril be a freak, which he is. He should play safety. He should be the return man. Let him get some offensive snaps. I think just let him play across the board, especially with a team so devoid of talent. Give him the opportunity to prove himself on both sides of the ball.
I'm actually going to disagree with you for a second on just that point. I don't think he should play everywhere. And I also disagree that I don't think they're devoid of talent, Max. I really don't. I think they have a lot of young talent. They just need to develop that talent. But I don't think I don't think he should
play. Proven NFL talent.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. A winning team. I know what you're saying. I don't think he should play all those things that he played at Michigan, because it is so – how is he going to go to the offensive meetings and then go to the defensive meetings and go to the special teams meetings? I agree that he should play maybe some offense, but I think he should I think that they should let him stick at one or two positions, because how else is he going to develop? Like, I mean, because when you have to memorize offensive plays and memorize defensive schemes and how to read a quarterback and the defensive signals, you know, I think it's incredibly tough to do that. I know it's easy to say, but I personally would like him to see him become a Honey Badger type player who can, yes, return kicks, but he can play like two positions on defense, and he can really excel at those two positions. And I know that they said they want him on offense. I just don't agree with that. But that's just my opinion.
We'll see. I think that in the short term, it's not going to hurt him for next season to give that shot. Doesn't work, you stop. It's not going to hurt his development. He did it for 1 year.
Well,
I think that
yes, also playing on the field at all times is a higher risk of injury, and that would probably be the worst thing that could happen to him.
But we'll see. I think that they, given their situation, they have to, at least for a game or two, just try it out. Doesn't work, you can stop.
Thanks for listening to the Pressing Coverage podcast.
Well,
enjoyed what
you
heard here, make sure to follow us on both Twitter and Instagram at Pressing Cover. Make sure you give us a like on Facebook, as well as sharing out this pod. Thank you guys, and see you next time.